Welcome to That Doesn't Work Anymore, the digital marketing podcast by Ad3. When you're looking to stand out online, the rules are ever changing and yesterday's strategies just won't cut it. Each episode, we'll tap into the brains of our in-house marketing experts, peeling back the layers of the latest trends, tactics and strategies in 2024. But it's not just about what works, we're here to uncover what doesn't. Let's face it, in this fast-paced digital world, your business might be pouring valuable resources down the drain on outdated approaches. We'll reveal the pitfalls so you can save both time and energy for what truly matters. So buckle up, get ready to deep dive, and let's kick off the show that will revolutionise your approach to digital marketing. Welcome to That Doesn't Work Anymore.
Welcome, everybody. I am Adam Ansoff. I am with Ad3, bringing you That Doesn't Work Anymore. I'm happy to introduce to you Ryan Berman, who is with StackAdapt, who has been a good partner with us, wanting to chat about CTV. Ryan, how about you share a little bit about yourself and your role there at StackAdapt?
Yeah, awesome. Thanks so much, Adam. Appreciate you having us in. Like you mentioned, my name's Ryan Berman. I'm with StackAdapt. I've been with the company for a little over a year, but then I've been working in programmatic and RTB media for the last 6 years or so, and then in digital for coming up on almost more closer to 10 years now than not. So crazy times. So if you aren't familiar with StackAdapt, we're a multi-channel programmatic advertising platform used by the most exceptional digital marketers. The state-of-the-art platform is where some of the most progressive work in machine learning meets cutting-edge user experience. Ad buyers are using the platform to plan, execute, and manage data-driven digital advertising campaigns across all devices, inventory, and publishers. StackAdapt's also the number one DSP and top 100 software product, according to G2 Crowd, supporting marketers and advertisers globally. So I'd say, really, at the end of the day, if you're an ad buyer and aiming to reach audiences, we essentially are able to reach that audience across any screen, any KPI, and we're likely able to make some sort of campaign work.
For all of our audience listening, this is going to be our second installment in a CTV series where we're diving in and doing some comparing and contrasting on CTV and just kind of the best ways to navigate the space, bringing you many different perspectives from the experts in the industry. So we're just going to start off talking about inventory. Inventory, from our perspective, is always an interesting thing with CTV, as a lot of stuff isn't as much on the open exchange as much as it is in private marketplace or direct guaranteed deals. Ryan, what kind of insights can you share on the effectiveness of using pre-negotiated inventory that, you know, StackAdapt has put together versus agencies or brands securing private marketplace deals?
Yeah, that's a great question. And one we're hearing is CTV in general is a hot topic at StackAdapt and something that we're talking with a lot of our agencies about all the time. It's changing. And the types of deals that agencies are ultimately transacting on in CTV is going to vary agency to agency, brand to brand. So I think a lot of it comes down to, it depends really on the bandwidth of the agency as well and what you all have the capacity to take on yourselves. Ultimately, in terms of coming with pre-negotiated inventory versus something that you guys are bringing yourselves, I think ultimately if you can work out more negotiated rates, that typically is going to be better if the agency has the bandwidth to do so. From the StackAdapt perspective, we ultimately have an always-on catalog that is going to be more available, so that way you can look and find all these rates no problem within the platform and be able to activate on all of those. And sometimes there are advantages as well to working with a partner that has scale in their relationships with all these publishers, so that way we're able to ourselves get potentially preferred rates as opposed to, you know, yourselves as an agency. So it really comes down to the size of the agency, bandwidth, etc. But I would essentially would say, you know, at the end of the day, when it comes to ROI, the more that you can negotiate and pay close attention to the rates that you're getting in these deals is going to be the most critical part.
Yeah. So it definitely sounds like it's your spending power, whether it depends on if you use pre-negotiated rates or you do direct deals yourself. Like if you're spending loads on Hulu as an agency, you'll probably get better rates with them going direct. But otherwise, you know, StackAdapt probably has a pretty sizable purchasing power. So, you know, people newer to the space or brands that just aren't, you know, buying one specific vendor all the time, it probably is better to use the pre-negotiated inventory you guys have set up.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that depending upon the speed of the campaign, you know, how quickly do we need to get this live? If you can go into a platform and be able to pick and choose these deals themselves right within the platform, that's, you know, that at the end of the day is going to be the best thing for the client, as opposed to having to go back and forth, reach out to a vendor, wait for, you know, however many days before they get back to you, negotiate the rates, et cetera, et cetera. So, and then the partners that you work with that do have that buying power as well are going to be the ones that are going to be able to provide those deals more on an always on capacity to make them accessible more quickly for your clients. Because inevitably, as I'm sure you know all too well, that Friday afternoon email is going to come through. And, you know, we want to make sure, how do we get live as quickly as possible on premium CTV inventory?
Yeah, being able to tap into CTV inventory on deals in a speedy manner is definitely not something to be underestimated. That's for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because there's a lot of times, yeah, clients want to get on as quickly as possible. And we need to meet that challenge. So I guess let's kind of dive into a little bit. Now we've kind of talked about the broad scope of, you know, inventory that people can tap into. Let's talk more about the inventory sources. So how should marketers, agencies, and brands, how should they approach, you know, different diverse sources such as like Pluto versus Hulu or Peacock or Paramount? Like, what are different factors that they should consider to ensure their message resonates across all of these different platforms?
Yeah, I think in some similar veins, and this will probably be a theme throughout this entire conversation, is it's always going to come down to the brand, the campaign, their goals, et cetera. I think a couple things that can be worth looking at would, of course, be even more broadly, who do we want to reach? Where do we want to reach them? Even differentiating between, are we serving on smart TVs, or are we serving on streaming apps and other devices as well with OTT? So trying to understand that aspect of it is going to also be critical. And that way also, what kind of creative do we have? Is this creative going to be better for reaching users in a desktop experience versus connected TV spot? In that connected TV spot, you know, you're going to be reaching more of a household level. Of course, there's more. You could have your whole family watching TV at the same time versus OTT and running, you know, on that same streaming app while someone's tuned in more on a one-to-one basis on a desktop or mobile. And there's also advantages for that as well. If you're looking at, you know, additional tracking, of course, you're going to get more click metrics and engagement metrics if you're serving on OTT devices, but still being able to serve on premium content compared to CTV and smart TVs and those types of devices. So those are going to be a couple different factors, and understanding who is the audience that you're looking to reach, what devices are they spending time on, what are the goals that you're trying to measure, of course. And then lastly, of course, cost is also going to be another factor in all of this as well, if that's a KPI. If you want to pay for that premium center of the living room screen, you know, that's going to cost more than reaching folks who are tuned in on their laptop or streaming on your mobile device. So really depends on ultimately the goals and from a cost perspective, tracking, reporting, but the strongest partners out there are going to allow you to have that flexibility and control over where you're serving from an inventory perspective, as well as from a devices perspective, and also provide those options too.
Gotcha. So I know on our end, we have different tools where we can tap into, you know, kind of look at our target audience and kind of see like where they indexing higher in terms of kind of channels and things like that. Do you think it makes sense that we kind of identify our audience and we start off on more inventory sources than less and kind of test and learn? Or is it usually just like, okay, we know we need to hit a certain CPM, so that already, you know, facilitates specific inventory sources from the get-go?
We always are encouraging of testing on our side if there's room to do so, especially starting off in a campaign. Sometimes you never know what's going to work until we try it, right? And so I think, yeah, being able to have, as long as you have the visibility too, right? As long as you have the visibility on what networks are performing better, what devices are performing better, what audiences are performing better across your connected TV campaigns, the way that that's going to provide a lot of optimization opportunities and can go from there. So yeah, definitely the more wider that we can start is going to provide more optimization opportunity. Of course, do also need to caveat that if there's a client that has that specific need and goal that says, you know, we only want to be delivering on live sports or on ESPN, or this has this particular publisher they want to be on, you know, we can serve that as well. So being able to really take both approaches as needed is gonna provide the most tools in your toolkit for being able to be responsive as quick as possible to your clients as well.
Yeah, that makes sense. I had a colleague here say the other day that marketing is a humbling industry, that sometimes you would think something's gonna happen one way, but the data goes a completely different way. So I think what you said makes a lot of sense, and that, you know, having that test and learn mindset is gonna be key. So in terms of, you know, testing and learning, I guess we can kind of shift a little bit into measurement. One of the main challenges that we've always had with CTV specifically, so, you know, ads directly on TV screens, is that it's a, you know, not clickable environment. It's 100% view through rate. So what are some kind of different innovative ways to measure campaign success in scenarios like this?
Yeah, this is the decades old question, right? Of, is my marketing working? What half is working? There's a lot of different ways that we're being able to solve for this, specifically at StackAdapt, to speak to that, especially knowing how fragmented the ecosystem is. I think that's something that's continuing to be more fragmented, but also at the same time, the right partners are also going to be able to provide solutions that solve for it. So first, and really a few different prongs here to this. The first is that we'd point to the StackAdapt derived user identity graph, DUID. So the way that we're approaching it is we have a dynamic algorithm that evaluates groups, different ID sources that are used to reach consumers across different devices. So we're optimizing that for accuracy, for scale. Ultimately, that leads to better performance. And so when we stitch that identity graph together, it allows us to further get a sense of who have we reached that has also visited the site, who has completed a specific action on the site. Is there a lift in other channels that we've seen? Is that user who's seen that connected TV ad, are they also seeing our display campaigns? Are they also seeing native or online video? Is there a QR code in the CTV ad that someone has scanned? So really being able to have a partner that has their own view of identity allows you to get additional metrics beyond just 100% non-skippable ads. Of course, that's important and should be a baseline for all CTV advertising. However, if there's additional visibility to site metrics, site engagement, someone who's seen the ad, visited the site, or even furthermore, someone who's seen the ad and purchased your product or converted. So that's the first way I would say is relying on partners for their different identity graphs. The second is that because we have that identity graph, the second way we would approach that and utilize that even further is actually utilizing brand lift studies. I think we actually have a pretty awesome case study with Ad3 for this, where we were remarketing to users who had seen an ad to completion and then being able to look at the exposed users. How are they voting in the brand study compared to users who haven't seen the ad? So this being able to provide metrics on brand health, awareness, consideration, intent, really we can customize a brand survey question for any question and brand KPI that you're looking to solve for. So when we include brand lift studies on CTV campaigns, you know, that's another way to move beyond just 100% completion on your CTV campaign. And then one of the last ways I would say, actually, I'm going to add another fourth one to this, but the third being probably the, one of the most granular ways that we're helping solve for this is that through partnerships with, for example, a LiveRamp, we actually do have first party attribution measurement. So similarly, because we have this device graph that I was originally talking about, the users that we've reached with our connected TV campaigns, we're going to have visibility from a user level of who are we actually reaching. And so when we're matching those impressions of who we've actually served ads to, the brand can actually upload their first party data for the time period of when that campaign was running.
So this can include like offline conversions?
Yeah, exactly. Offline conversions. It could even be online conversions as well to match that. But essentially through our partnership with LiveRamp, you upload the first party data that the client has of, for example, purchasers of a supplement, for example, during a 3-month period that we were serving TV ads. The brand could upload that first party data of those users who purchased during the 3-month period. We'd provide essentially a match rate on the percentage of users that we've actually shown CTV ads to that were ultimately end up purchasing that product. So it could be offline, could be online. So it really is all based around that device ID through that derived user identity graph that I was talking about, allows us to have that flexibility, and then partnerships, of course, with the LiveRamps of the world to be able to do that.
Yeah, that LiveRamp integration is great for clients that don't want to have pixels on their site, because I think before you're talking about how you can trace, you know, the performance back to site activity and things like that, but that requires the use of a pixel. So without that pixel, you being able to find another way to tie back actions in a kind of a secure way is definitely helpful for those type of clients.
Yeah, absolutely. And also would make a plug as well that pixels are going to be a whole nother podcast, but as we look towards the deprecation of the third-party cookie, is going to be a harder and harder connection to tie. So being able to have these integrations and extensive partnerships with the LiveRamps of the world or other ways to activate and measure against first-party data is just going to be more critical than ever. And then I do want to also make just another, it's more of an obvious plug, and in some ways is a fourth way for a measurement component to CTV advertising, is just also having transparency into reporting, right? Being able to have transparency into spend of what publishers are we actually serving on when we're running CTV? What is the inventory? Are these ads seen? Are they heard? What are the publishers we're serving on? Potentially, if there's show level data or other reporting like that, that could be pulled out, extrapolated, things like that. Being able to have that level of transparency is also just another, it's more of a brand health metric to always keep an eye on as well, as opposed to saying, this is our KPI, we don't care where we showed up. See, in the CTV space, being able to have that level of transparency and control is just more critical than other types of media.
Yeah, I mean, as stewards of our clients' budgets, I think that's a key component that we're able to like determine exactly where the money is going. So then when we're talking about performance, we're very secure in what we're able to talk about. So I think that's a great thing to point up. And then to circle back around to the brandless studies real quick, we've ran some of those at Ad3, and the cool thing about them is that we can see the results in real time, which I think has always been helpful for us. So we can kind of monitor as the campaign's going. It's like, okay, we know we don't have statistical significance, but we can, you know, on a week by week basis, kind of talk with the client, say, hey, here's how we're seeing that trend. So I've always thought that was a really cool feature.
Yeah, that's great. And also being able to have, like we were mentioning, what other metrics can we point to that lead to success? Is it frequency that needs to be changed partway through the campaign? Is it a creative that needs to be updated partway through the campaign? Those are all different levels of insight that we're going to be able to peel back within a campaign without, you know, having to wait months for survey results. And so provide some mid-flight optimization opportunities right within the platform.
Yeah, because that's been one of the things that we've actually asked of you guys is, how has the brand lift or the metric that we're going after been affected for people who have only seen the ad one or two times or three plus times, which I think was a pretty telling metric. Like, okay, are we getting the point across with one or two impressions, or do we minimally need like 3 to 5 or more impressions to really like move the needle, which I think is really helpful for us in our conversations with the client to kind of talk about those reach and frequency goals.
Absolutely. And that's an area we're continuing to invest in as well. There's more aspects of this on our product roadmap that are going to be continuing to roll out. I can't speak to them much more than that, but it's something that we're definitely eyeing very closely and have, because we know it's such an important component to especially the CTV space and understanding how big of a market the CTV space is.
So I think just to kind of pivot a little bit, I want to like kind of talk about using CTV for kind of major events. So I know that we've talked to clients and there's a lot of time where, you know, CTV is a bit more of expensive. It's more of an awareness tactic. So they like to use flighting or really focus on what we kind of call tentpole events. So, you know, kind of, you know, brands like to activate campaigns around tentpole events, such as like March Madness or the Olympics or major award shows. Should brands focus their campaign efforts on these short, high-impact periods or kind of focus more on their long-term sustained campaigns?
Yeah, this is another great question that we get all the time from agencies and brands directly themselves trying to justify these investments. I think we see it every single year with the Super Bowl as the prime example, right? Of we did it, was it worth it? And typically what we tend to hear is yes, there's so much more than just that 30 second spot that you're often buying. Of course, the answer being yes, if it's feasible, right? that's always the big question. But if something like that is feasible, we do believe that there is a way to strategically balance all of these investments. And so I would also say it's a matter of balance, right? Being able to balance from a cost standpoint, if it's feasible, let's run during specific live sports events. Let's get a Super Bowl commercial if it's feasible. However, throughout the year, also running more of an audience first approach and being able to target audiences who have interests in all of these subjects as well throughout the year. And that way you're really balancing out an audience first approach, an inventory and tentpole moment approach. It's pretty hard as a brand. Of course, you want to make sure you hear it all the time that's where viewers are. That's where culture is, right? And so if you want to be in the know and really make a splash, that's just what you have to take part of. And yeah, what it would also just emphasize again, it's not just that immediate spot. I mean, imagine certain, you know, for example, if there's live coverage, there's going to be YouTube videos, documentaries, press, PR, articles about this advertiser, that advertiser, organic traffic, you know, posting and things like that's going to happen from your fan base. So really just from a long-term health, if it's feasible, definitely would look into doing it where it's possible, but then also balancing it out with an audience first approach. The other component I would say we're starting to also hear more and more about is, say you can't, you know, be able to afford a Super Bowl commercial, right? Well, there are more and more alternatives to that are evolving every day as technologies change with the, you know, use of ACR data and other, you know, automated content recognition and other data providers, OEM manufacturers, those types of partners are able to get data on viewership, right? So we can also package up audiences of people who are viewing those spots and those particular events, tentpole events, and then also target them, whether it be with in other places on CTV or potentially in other channels as well, right? So let's target people who are watching the Oscars on display, or let's run digital out of home, for example, to people that are in Vegas during the Super Bowl, for example, when that happened. So there's a lot of ways to also get really creative, I think, more than ever about if you can't afford it, what are some other alternatives to still taking advantage of those cultural moments as well?
Yeah, I think that makes sense. It really seems to boil down to what do these events align with your brand, and are they going to, you know, be a net positive in associating with these events? Otherwise, it seems like you want to focus more on like an audience first approach and really just, you know, leverage your, you know, flighting might be taken into account, but the tentpole events are more, is it something that you want to align your brand with?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. So, cause you were talking about, you know, different channels and different things like that. In overall strategic planning, I guess one of the things that we are wondering is how do you assess the potential of new and emerging channels for top of funnel without diluting the impact of your core channels? So like if you're already running native and display, for example, and you're looking into CTV, you know, how do you assess bringing on that new emerging channel for your brand?
Yeah, I think we're hearing about it more and more. And it's all about, similarly to the point about live events versus audiences, right? It's all about a balancing act of maintaining what you can in your existing mix, but also continuing to look at new and emerging channels where possible in as smart a way. I think we're more than ever, because of signal loss, privacy changes, and things like that, really forced to look at other ways to engage audiences beyond, you know, retargeting, search, and social. So really similar to what we were talking about earlier as well, is just focusing on methodical testing, right, of all these different channels to understand their effectiveness, but then also not just testing for testing's sake, right? Let's look at different ways that we're optimizing these strategies, really taking a thoughtful approach to how we're measuring the test as well. So partners that are going to provide the level of transparency into where you're running, levers that you need to optimize, you know, it takes time. And as long as we're testing in a manner that is effective and thoughtful, I think there can always be more and more learnings for that. And from the StackAdapt perspective, we've seen time and time and again that being able to have a consolidated, unified message across multiple channels ultimately ends up driving better, stronger performance and ROI at the end of the day, because we're reaching users in different places. You're seeing the same brand message on CTV as you are on display. And we're seeing, you know, higher ROAS, higher LTV from users that are being exposed to all these different channels. So it's not necessarily about just chasing the new shiny thing that's out there. It's being careful about how we're measuring it, and also doing testing, you know, in a way that makes sense, and working with partners that can really consolidate the entire funnel into one place.
So it's almost the way what you're describing is it's the opposite of a diluting, is that when you bring in the new channel, you're almost magnifying the other channels because it gives you the opportunity to reach people in multiple spots and really get your message across.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's something brands are going to have to continue to do more and more as we're, like we were mentioning, as we're forced to, right, with different changing privacy laws and signal deprecation and things like that.
Good answer. So in terms of, you know, optimizations, like what are kind of some, you know, effective optimizations that you've seen in terms of driving campaign success for CTV, specifically when like traditional metrics might not be the main focus, such as like revenue or ROAS?
This is something that, again, it's backed only by partners that are going to be able to have deeper levels of insights as well as levers to make different optimizations. So the more granular information you have, also from a machine learning and AI perspective, that's also something that is involved in a partner by partner basis, and something that we're including in all of our campaigns from an optimization perspective. Historically, it's optimization for TV has been very much a black box, right? You're delivering impressions to a user. You might know where your commercial is being shown. You might not, when it's showing, et cetera. But yeah, so being a partner that we're doing and how we operate with all of our brands and agency partners is that being able to drill down and have that level of transparency into what inventory is performing, like you were saying, what frequency are we reaching users at that is driving lift in a campaign? You know, being able to have that level of insight and reporting is going to allow us to have those levels of optimizations and be, you know, really smart. And also as an agency partner as well, be able to highlight that for your current clients and be able to show that you're making optimizations, drilling down deep into these campaigns, as well as ultimately if there's, you know, new business as an agency that you guys are trying to take on as well, potentially something that you can highlight from a capabilities perspective that other agencies aren't doing yet.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And then as we're kind of going into, you know, some of your platform capabilities, I know one thing that we have leveraged StackCredit for specifically is that you guys have a integrated account-based marketing tool, so ABM for short, which is really helpful in terms of like the B2B landscape. So kind of just want to shift gears a little bit away from kind of traditional CTV and see like how can we use it and impact the B2B space. So considering kind of the complexity of the B2B decision-making landscapes, how do you go about integrating account-based marketing within broader digital strategies to align with, you know, the kind of the multifaceted buyer's journey?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and this is an area we're seeing more and more growth than ever and really finding opportunities to be an up and coming player. Because to your point, we have built out our ABM solutions. It's also connected TV advertising as well, which is unique. But yeah, to your point, this decision-making landscape, highly complex. There's multiple stakeholders. Really, we would break this down into three parts as well. So number one being that essentially leveraging our ABM solution, we're able to have that consistent message across all channels, right? As we were talking about earlier, when you're seeing a message across connected TV, display, et cetera, but also having that audience first strategy, targeting users who are deterministically known at a specific company and different job functions, et cetera, we're able to reach those audiences across multiple channels. So because of the integrations that we have, we're able to provide that, not only that targeting, but more importantly, the level of measurement as well on who these people are, where they're working, et cetera, impressions, conversions, all those measurement components like we were talking about. So number one being that B2B audience graph across different channels. The next part being the fact that we're also able to have a wide area of where we can also serve our messaging, right? We aren't limited to just business publications. While of course it's important to be on the Business Insiders, the Forbes, tech and business focused publications, at the end of the day, business decision makers are also consumers. And I think that conversation is coming around more and more than ever, that realization that they're people too. So being able to have a wide view of inventory is also going to be highly important and making sure that we're more inventory agnostic at that point.
Yeah, because I bet those inventory sources are extremely saturated with advertisers. The costs have gone up, right? As well as just targeting. For example, I know we've targeted like IT decision makers in the past, and I think everyone is targeting the IT decision makers audience. So being able to target specific companies that you're in, because this is really kind of a way to marry strategy of your advertising team with your sales team, right? So like, if you know your sales team is going after specific companies, you can really support their efforts by targeting those specific companies, job titles, and seniority at those specific companies to really try to get in front of them as your sales team is also trying to work on those leads as well.
Yeah, exactly. And at the end of the day, that's what the goal of marketing is doing, is supporting the sales team and sales in general. So the fact that we're able to provide that level of measurement optimization as well is going to be something that, you know, you aren't going to find elsewhere.
Yeah. And also just report back on the engagement, like which companies are engaging with our ads and sharing that with the sales team. Like, hey, these are, might be a little bit warmer than just, you know, this list of cold leads.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would also say, and I mean, in addition to the ABM strategy, this goes back to combines some of the topics that we were chatting through earlier, but ultimately there's also evidence and we're seeing it more and more, B2B companies being involved in things like F1, Super Bowl. I think I was reading an article that there's more B2B commercials in the Super Bowl than ever before because of this, a lot of the reasons that we were talking about, the fact that folks are realizing or having sort of this level of saturation in B2B publications and things like that, targeting IT decision makers, realizing that we need to do something new. And there's ways to reach that audience in other ways and ultimately balance that with those ABM strategies like you were talking about, also supporting their sales team.
And then just to kind of wrap things up a little bit, I did want to kind of ask, forward looking, kind of given, you know, your knowledge and experience in the CTV OTC space, what trends are you seeing in the channel and how do you see things developing in the next 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, I'd say over the next 5 to 10 years, I mean, maybe honestly, it might even be in the next 1 to 2 years before then, is how TV is transacted, I think, is one area that we're seeing more and more flexibility on. In the past, I used to work at Pandora as well, doing direct IO. In the past, that's been the way that media is bought and sold, especially in CTV as well. And that's now changed to private marketplace and programmatic guaranteed. I think there's going to be a lot more flexibility with how private marketplace and programmatic guaranteed deals are bought and sold. And specifically with something like programmatic guaranteed, where often you're limited in the types of audiences that you can actually utilize. I think there will be more flexibility there in the future for not only getting a level of guaranteed impressions, but also more audience targeting that you can start to layer in to programmatic guaranteed deals, which has been hard to get access to, as well as just more and more transparency across what shows are we serving against, what content are we serving against, where the ads being shown, etc. I think that's another aspect of it. But yeah, I think those are two of the biggest areas I would say are coming up more and more.
So in terms of like, are there anything that like, what is something that you're, you know, most excited about, or what is something that you're kind of worried about, or as you see as like the biggest challenge?
I think the biggest challenge to start there likely will be just making access to this inventory available. I mean, think about like a Netflix, for example, in their business. They now are doing ad supported. It's extremely expensive. It's been hard to get there. So I think just the availability of it, while it's been a challenge to get there, I think the fact that it's getting there is very exciting at the same time, on the flip side of that as well. So we can clearly see Prime Video as well as another example. I think that inventory is now made available programmatically. And so you can see it very clearly in the industry that this inventory, it's going to be made available at some point. I think the challenge is when and the cost, but ultimately long-term, what's really exciting, the flip side is it is available. And we know, as history tells itself, as it tells itself, it will become available and we'll get there and made available at some point.
Wonderful answers from the great Ryan Berman. Really appreciate your time today. And we will be back with another installment of diving into CTV next time. Thank everyone for listening and talk soon.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of That Doesn't Work Anymore. If any of the topics we explored today left you hungry for more, reach out to us at ad3.com/contact. Stay tuned because we're gearing up for another exciting episode of That Doesn't Work Anymore. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, keep innovating and keep rocking that digital marketing game.